15. Despair. I slow in my flight. No one is chasing me now. I pause and glance around. I hear the crowd returning to the city. Lights and voices recede in the distance. When all is quiet, I steal out from cover and follow. They take Jess to a holding cell where they convince the man on duty to lock him up until morning. The rest of the night passes like a horrible nightmare. I fear I am being watched and followed. Someone comes up to me as I run through the street. "I recognize you," she says, pointing to me. "You were with him. You are part of that gang." "No," I shout again. A curse erupts from my lips. "I don't know who you are talking about." I run off, tears stinging my eyes for my cowardice. I do not sleep all night, but wander aimlessly. When morning comes, a great crowd gathers outside the jail where he is being held. The protest leaders arrive to take Jess, still bound, to the county magistrate, Judge Pyler. I follow in the midst of the crowd. I see most of the others of our number, including the women and Jess's mother, scattered among the throng as it surges along. Hearing the commotion from the mob as they approach, the judge comes out onto the balcony of the large main courthouse building. Dr. Cephas steps to the front of the huge mob. "We have brought this man to you," he calls up to the judge. "He has been subverting our nation." "In what way?" asks Judge Pyler. "He tells the people not to pay taxes." "A serious charge, but this is a free country. It is not against the law to say such things." "He claims to be a king." "He hardly looks like a king to me," laughs the judge. "I hardly think the nation is in danger." "All right, then. He claims to be the Son of God."
"What?"
laughs Pyler. "Is this nothing but a religious dispute? Haven't you heard of separation of church and state?" He turns and begins to walk back inside. "Wait," calls Cephas. "This is different." "This is no civil matter," rejoins Pyler. "Why have you brought him to me?" "He is dangerous, a rabble-rouser," insists Cephas. "What is that to me?" replies the judge. "My hands are clean in the affair. I find no basis for a legal charge against the man. Deal with him yourself." Pyler turns and walks back inside. Thwarted, the leading pastors and priests begin to stir up the crowd. Shouts and threats sound from all about. Yelling and commotion quickly get out of hand. More and more people step forward to strike him. "The man who would be king. Look at him now." The crowd is ugly and menacing. Suddenly, Pete runs forward from somewhere, a large knife in his hand. "Get away! Stand back, everyone!" he cries, swinging the knife about wildly. One look in his eyes makes it clear that he is ready to kill or be killed, to free Jess from the mob. The crowd around him pulls back. "Okay, Cephas, the rest of you," shouts Pete. "Release him." But now Jess steps calmly toward his friend. "Pete," he says, "put it away. This is not God's way." In the midst of the hysteria, Judd appears from out of nowhere. We have not seen him since he left the supper we had eaten together last night. The leaders seem to know him. We see a few nods being exchanged. Fearing his own arrest, Pete now sheaths his knife and disappears again into the mass of humanity. Judd walks straight toward Jess. "Hello, teacher," he says, then steps forward and kisses him on the cheek. "Judd, my friend," says Jess, sadly, shaking his head. I am so sorry, but my love for you was unchanged. Now, do what you came for. Judd steps back, his face white from the words he has just heard. It suddenly seems to dawn on him that he has made a terrible mistake. But it is too late. We hear shouts. Look out! Get back! A man emerges from the crowd into the opening made by Judd's approach. He has a gun.
Back, everyone! A terrorist! Screams a woman's voice. Run for your lives! It's an automatic!
In a frenzy, the crowd flees. Suddenly, shots explode in the morning air. Hysteria breaks out. Men, women, and children flee in panic, trampling about, knocking each other down, yelling and scurrying madly, expecting any second to hear the terrifying sound of machine gun fire spraying the crowd. I am jostled about and nearly knocked to the ground. It only takes a few seconds for those nearby to clear away. I regain my balance and hurriedly glance toward where Jess was standing a moment ago. There, at the center of the pandemonium, the man of peace lies in a pool of his own blood. From Jesus, an Obedient Son by Michael Phillips. Read by Michael Kimball. More information on this and similar writings may be found at fatheroftheinklings.com. Visit Amazon to purchase Jesus, an Obedient Son, and other books by Michael Phillips.